T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Leading off for the Perkins and Spiegel Show, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, Nate.
He's got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
On the ground to the right side, Horner. Backhands, jump throw, and the pick at first. What a play. Nico, and he gets some help from Garrett Cooper. That's your Gold Glover at second base.
Nico swings, ground ball, pass Rivera in the left field for a base hit. As Nico Horner comes through with an RBI single.
So hot right now.
Line drive into left. That's a base hit, and that's going to roll in to score Nick Madrigal. A two-bagger for Nico again.
Horner swings, line drive, base hit down the right field line. Nico slides in safely to second with an RBI double. His third hit of the ball game.
So hot right now.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
With Anthony Herron in for Spiegs, it's Parkins and Spiegel and Nico Horner, Tuesdays at 2:30. Nico, kind enough to join us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. What's up, Nico? Do we have him? I see him in the Zoom. I see him on the chat. We might have a muting situation. We'll get him. 16 hits in his last 10 games, man.
Hot. Piping hot,
yeah.
Scorching hot, Hansel hot. If you want to talk hot, that is Nico Horner at the moment.
All Zoolander references play here.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's a great movie. Yeah. It's so stupid, but it's so good.
And it gets better every time you watch it.
Yeah. Oh, who would have thought it could have been a harmless... I know he can hear us, but it's a harmless gasoline fight that I'm referencing from Zoolander. What's up, Nico?
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing very well. Sorry for any tech issues there. How was the off day?
Day was pretty solid. I feel like nice to have an off day in Chicago. It doesn't happen that much. Nice to get kind of settled in and still unpacking from spring training a little bit, so we're all good.
is there pressure, and this is weird, but is there pressure to do nothing on an off day when you're about to play, you know, 16 games in 16 days?
Yeah, a healthy amount. But, like, truly doing nothing also doesn't make me feel very good. So you got to kind of run that fine balance. But I did not know about the 16 and 16 days until someone said that, like, half an hour ago. But it's all good.
Okay. So what's your version of doing nothing?
Like, walking around Lincoln Park. I mean, in general. Ended up over on Wells for a little bit. Big drama, though. Big drama, Foxtrot, Dom's Market, everything's closed down.
Yeah.
It's a hot topic today.
Is that hot topic in the clubhouse, online, your world? Yeah.
Not that I know of online, but in my, whatever my world is, it's been talked about a lot. So that's going on for sure.
Wow. Yeah. There were pictures online of, like, the employees finding out about it and then just taking high-end booze and walking out of the store.
I feel fine about that.
So do I. So do I. Like, if you're going to lose your job, right, you may as well get out of there with some, like, Johnny Walker or something.
100%.
Potential for Nico to maybe spend the off day there. I mean, if they're just handing out high-end booze, why not, Nico?
Well,
yeah, but that's been my excitement today so far.
Yeah, that's a big day. feel so silly asking you about struggles at the plate early on. Now all of a sudden you lead the team in hits, lead the team in on-base percentage, you got 16 hits in your last 10 games. Look like a beach ball up there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I felt pretty good in Seattle. Hit some balls hard there, and then, you know, just had a lot of balls fall in good places recently. But those games in Arizona were really wild. I know we talked, you know, after that first game there, but
yeah,
really intense games and an intense road trip in a lot of ways. So cool to be able to contribute in some close games like that, and then yeah, right into the homestand too. Yeah.
So in my sport, Nico, in football, where you have to wait a week in between games, and so if you're out of rhythm, if you're scuffling along, you can just feel like it's going to take forever until you get an opportunity to kind of make things right. You get to virtually play every day. So as you're not 100%. Necessarily off to a hot start, then are you eager to get back out there, or is there some benefit to potentially getting like a day off to kind of get yourself right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, playing every day is I think one of the best parts of what we do, just because, like you said, like if there's things aren't going well, like you want to get right back to it and onto the next thing. And honestly, that's kind of some of the challenge of spring training in some ways, is when you're not playing as much, you're only getting, you know, two or three at bats and then a day off and then two at bats or something like that. It can be easy to overanalyze things or go down some rabbit holes that probably aren't even necessary just because you aren't playing as much. But yeah, I definitely don't envy, or that's not true. I don't always envy starting pitchers. Like they throw really well and they're just chilling for 5 days and loving life. But the flip side of that is pretty tough, where, you know, you're thinking about every pitch for 5 days until you have another opportunity. And that's a lot to sit on.
And so as you're doing that, you're not yourself at the plate early on, but it wasn't impacting your defense. Now you've been at this for a minute, but you're still a fairly young professional. Was there a focus on making sure that you were still yourself on the infield, or did it just never even really enter your mind that one would impact the other?
I mean, I think at a certain point, it's just what you do. But I do think that I definitely take pride in, you know, obviously playing good defense, but also knowing that I can impact the game in multiple ways. And, you know, that can kind of help keep you sane too when you're not getting results at the plate, which will definitely happen again at some point. And but if you can still help the team win, obviously that's still a good feeling.
We're talking to Nico Horner here. You know, you mentioned not envying the starting pitcher who has to sit with the results for 5 days if it's going poorly. I know that Kyle Hendricks is the most respected guy in that clubhouse. What's it like watching him go through these consistent struggles early?
Yeah, I thought that I thought his last outing here at home against Miami, like, you know, to strike out five and not walk anyone, get swing and miss, and like the command of the fastball was, I thought, really good. And you know, kind of a stretch of hits there at the end that put some runs on him, but I thought it was a really good step in the right direction. But more than anything, you obviously just, you know, you feel for the person, you want the best for him, you just want things to go well for him, you want to make every play for him, you want to score runs for him. Like, it's a guy that's incredibly easy to root for. So yeah, obviously, and you know he's doing everything that he can in his power, so the respect for him is always going to be at the highest level no matter what he does.
We've talked to you now for a couple of years, and you've been pretty open about like wanting to grow and evolve as a leader. But there's ecosystems within a clubhouse. There's the position guys, there's the starters, there's the relief pitchers. Do you say anything to him or to Alzolay, like guys who are struggling, or is that not your place?
Yeah, it's super interesting because, you know, if when I have good relationships with both of them, but then if there's guys that, you know, you wouldn't normally or you don't talk to as much, then, you know, if you're all of a sudden talking to them, it's like, I don't know. I feel like from their perspective, it can be like, oh, now like I'm getting all this attention, something must be wrong. Or like, for the most part, just try and stay consistent with the people in the locker room. And I think we do have a great locker room and a place that's not divided at all. And like the pitchers and position players are close. And, you know, Adbert and Kyle are very different personalities, but are both essential for our locker room. And because I know them so well, I have a lot of belief in them to do things well when things are going well, and when they're not, to continue in their best ways too.
So it's been weird to watch this, like from a media standpoint, but I grew up a Cubs fan. Like I don't hide that at all. Like, you guys are playing well, I'm rooting for you, but bad things keep happening in terms of injuries or like kind of crazy losses or whatever the case may be. And so last week I was like, everyone says you got to wait. You got to wait 60 days. You got to wait this before you say what a team is, good or bad. But I'm like, I don't know. I think I can say that this team is resilient. Like you guys seem to be resilient. And I got some pushback for hanging that positive adjective on you guys early. What would you say to that?
I mean, I think that's a really high compliment of a baseball team. I mean, it's not gonna be like a always smooth and sexy for 162 games, right? Like that's just not really how the sport works. And you know, last year was anything but that for sure. And I think we all improved because of it, even though we did come up short. And like last year, I think was pretty abnormal in a lot of ways, as far as you know, having some brutal stretches like in May, but then also special turnarounds when we needed it most. And like it was a lot to experience, but I think develops a lot of character. And I think it's not by chance that, you know, you see a group at least handling some challenges so far pretty well, I think.
And so you'd had one skipper, one manager throughout your major league career up until now. There was a core here that was in place, and so the roster mm-hmm. from last season hasn't really evolved that much, but Craig Counsell steps into it now. In the resilience that Danny's talking about there, how does having Craig Counsell now introduced into this, how does that sort of impact the way that you all sort of interact together?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think he did a great job in spring training of emphasizing the importance of everyone in the room, from you know, staff to everyone on the roster, and the importance of all of us being connected. And I think that's definitely been valuable so far. But he also said that, you know, that the identity of the group isn't something that's going to be found in spring training or even April. Really, it does take time, and it takes a lot of effort. And I appreciated that he wasn't like going into spring like, this is who we are, you guys all need to do this, but left it up to us. And as long as we're kind of following some core values and principles and trusting us to make the most of that. And I think we're well on our way.
Just to follow up, so I'm sure I'm understanding what you're saying. Like, are you saying that you guys learned the resiliency from the trouble of last year, or that's something that's unique to the team you feel like so far this year?
Oh, I think, just that, you know, we're at a point now where we're actually having some consistency in our roster from year to year. And so
gotcha.
Just our players that were here last year, I think, you know, we did experience a lot together, and a lot of that was challenging. A lot of it was really fun. But all of those things are, I think, contribute just to being able to stay level-headed through whatever it is that shows up next.
So I'm sure you heard about this, and I know you and Jameson Taillon are tight, but I wanted to play this for you. This is what he said after the Friday home game about you.
There is a sense of, like, when Nico goes, we go a little bit. Like, he's such an just energizing player. He makes a great play on defense, or I didn't even think he had a chance to get to that ball, and then he hits a double the next inning. He's always looking to take the extra base. Like, there's some really good leadership out of him, and he leads, you know, by having energy every day. I definitely feel like when he goes, we go a little bit. And that could be said about like a lot of guys, but Nico's definitely got that just whatever it is about him where guys kind of follow him and feel that energy and passion. So yeah, it's fun to watch him when he's hot.
What's that mean to you?
Oh, that's great. I mean, especially from you know, words from your teammates really do mean the most. And like, that's when it comes to like people's opinions or things like that, like definitely the people that you're around the most. And yeah, that does mean a lot. It's really cool to hear. And JMO's played in a lot of places, been with a lot of great players. So obviously respect his opinion, and just his outing, first batting back, was just so sweet to watch. And I'm excited for him this year.
Yeah, no, it was awesome to see him deal after what all the things that went against him last year.
Yeah.
But you know that means a lot, right? Like, that's the Dexter Fowler. Like, that's a famous Cubs thing. You go, we go. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a – Cubs fans hear that, and they're like, oh, damn. That was something pretty special there. So that's a heavy mantle for you to carry. Not that you carry a mantle.
Yeah.
It's more of a crown that you carry. Yeah,
I love that. It's not so much like – it's more of an opportunity, though. Like, I like that, you know, if – what I just being myself is enough to, you know, help the group and, you know, maybe help our energy in general. And yeah, you know, I hope I bring that same energy and confidence regardless of how I'm performing, but it's definitely easier to portray when things are going well.
I'm guessing if you decided to carry a mantle, Nico, you'd probably make it look good.
Yeah, carrying a mantle's an idiotic thing for me to say. My bad.
We're sort of in the mode now with it being NFL draft week, where we're talking about guys like body control and twitchiness and all this other stuff. And you, as an infielder, display a lot of those characteristics. When the ball's kind of bouncing at an awkward angle, or you have to really stretch or you know, get to an awkward spot to get to it, what are the factors that go into your mind when you're trying to decide, do I come to balance to get the ball to the bag, or do I make an attempt to make one of these web gem type off balance flinging sort of throws? What are the factors you're kind of going through as you're making that decision?
Yeah, that's the fun part about what we do, is like you don't get to choose what balls get hit to, you know, and it's almost like there's never the same ball hit twice. And I think about, like, so far this year, I've had just like a lot of great opportunities. Like, sometimes you play a couple of weeks and don't get many chances to do anything interesting. And I've just kind of had like a lot of fun plays so far this year, and whether it's line drives or choppers or short hops, whatever it is. And they're not premeditated, but they're somewhere deep in there that you've done before, whether it as a kid or messing around in the backyard or whatever it is. And I think just as I've gotten more confident, especially at second base with some of the angles and stuff, that's just gotten to show up a little bit more. And it's not like any one drill or anything like that, but I do think there's some kind of deeper muscle memory that starts getting built there the more time you spend.
Is it tougher to do the Derek Jeter into the hole jump throw, or the like running to your left and then cross body throw? What's the tougher way to go?
I think I've always been a little more natural going to my left. I think just from playing shortstop growing up, moving right to left is just a little bit simpler for me. But you know, going to my right and making plays, whether it's a routine play or a, you know, a jump throw or whatever it is, was something I really focused a lot on this offseason. I felt like I left a lot of outs to my right last year, and so nice to make some plays already.
So with the draft coming up Thursday night, most of these guys here are going to be in Detroit watching what's happening in the top 10. The Bears got two picks coming up. Are you paying attention to that in the midst of the early baseball season here? Just watching what the Bears are going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I am, if there was one team that I were to like root for to win the Super Bowl, it would be the Bears, but I can't say that I'm locked in on everything that's going on right now. I will definitely know what happens afterwards, but I probably will not be dialed in day of.
Yeah. It's one of the places where Nico and I don't get along. I'm always trying to inject football stuff into him, and he's like, I kind of care about my fantasy team, and that's about it. I'm like, all right.
We had a great regular season and then lost in the first round.
Yeah, no, I know. Right. I know. That was tough for you. That was tough for you. All right, so I know you like complimenting your teammates here. I didn't know how little first base Michael Bush had played. It's interesting, like, because some of the plays have looked kind of awkward to me, but then, like, he gets that ball in the ninth inning the other night to lead off the ninth inning. It was 105 off the bat. Crazy, tough hop that he made look pretty easy. What's it been like kind of getting on the same page with him early on?
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. And one thing that makes me really confident in him is the trust that he has with playing with one hand. If you watched Riz play first base, and obviously a great defender, like, you never saw him field a ground ball with two hands ever. And just like the confidence to play the game with one hand is just a really athletic thing, and just a nice trait that he's already shown. And made a lot of tough hops and looked pretty easy from my angle. So yeah, I've been super, super impressed by it. Yeah.
Okay. And then did you study Vlad Guerrero? Cause we talked to you last week about how high that one is that you hit against Arizona. Then you ripped that ball foul. That was like a foot inside, man. Like, I don't know what your coverage is of the plate right now, but you could swing at anything and seemingly hit it hard right now.
Yeah. I mean, if it looks good, I'm going, but
okay,
it's not always recommended, but you know, there's a time and place for different things, I guess.
All right, and then one thing for another team around the sport, what would it be like to be on a team that's been shut out 8 times in its first 22 games this season?
I think you would feel a good amount of tension from just like, you know, as even if you're with great guys, like when a group of hitters are struggling, you know, we've all been a part of it, but you can feel that, you know, when you're around it. And it can be challenging to kind of separate yourself from what's going on with the group sometimes.
There's been some umpires making a little bit of news. I don't know if you've noticed that as of late. Is it difficult to avoid that factoring into your approach, whether it's being at the plate, walking up to the plate, the way you're communicating with the particular ump from one game to the next, depending on who's standing behind you while you're in the box? Like, how aware are you of that?
I'm personally not super aware of the umpires. There's some guys that know absolutely every umpire's name, and they're like, they know before the game, and not even from a strategy vantage point. It's just like something that they're locked in on, and I haven't had much interaction. Honestly, like, I talk to the guys in the field, but at home plate, usually not much, honestly. But I do think the automated strike zone is coming in one way or another, even if it's just like a challenge or whatever it is. So that'll definitely change things.
Did you see the video and hear the audio of Aaron Boone getting tossed yesterday?
I saw that the headline that it was a fan and he got ejected for a fan's behavior, basically.
You've got to watch the video, man. I know you're not. Okay. I know you're not online, but it's objectively hilarious. Like, because he's mic'd up, and the
Andy was mic'd up.
And the Yes Network cameras catch it. Oh, I mean, I guess we could play it for you. Yeah, let's hear it.
You're not yelling at me. Check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pit. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Well,
there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
Wow! Wow, I was right.
Can you undo an ejection?
No.
Like, could you go to the replay booth for the ejection?
It's the camera is shoot. You see Aaron Boone's lips not move, and you see the guy in the first row behind him screaming at Hunter Wendelstedt, and then he ejects Aaron Boone.
Challenge the ejection. That's a brutal one. That's crazy.
Never seen anything like it. All right, man. Keep crushing it at the plate and making web gems and doing all the things. And we'll talk to you next week after the Bears have made a couple of picks. I mean, after you guys have won a bunch of games, whatever it is.
Wonderful. I'll have a bunch of hot takes about that, I'm sure.
That would be excellent. See you, Nico. Sorry about your grocery store.
See you soon.
All right. All right. That's Nico Horner with us each and every Tuesday at 2:30.
Have you ever shopped at this grocery store?
You know, I haven't. It became very popular after I left the city, but super popular. I know Shane knows all about it. Oh, yeah. And I know plenty of people who do, but it was a big, like, an out of nowhere thing. They just merged with
a hot topic today.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, hot topic.
Yeah.
But the pictures online of the, I mean, I feel terrible. People lose their job suddenly or whatever, but all of a sudden they're just like, I guess inventory doesn't matter anymore. And they're just walking out with expensive bottles of liquor. It's it's a decent severance, I suppose, but yeah.
Nico's a bit of an unassuming guy. I mean, if he just put like a different ball cap on and maybe a hoodie, he could probably stroll in there and walk out with some liquor.
Yeah, he's getting...
I mean, he's attractive, but, you know, a lot of attractive people walking around. Just throw on a hoodie, grab some bottles, and walk out.
Yeah, good-looking dude. Signature hair is developing. Been here a few years. And they air that damn commercial of his on the, in the Cubs broadcast. Now, that commercial airs every three innings. Like making his big league debut and his first pitch is a home run and then do a big close up on his dome. And you have to see it.
Yeah.
It's a good commercial, but I mean, it airs three times a Cubs game.
Maybe he could.
I feel for those guys. That Foxtrot is attached to Wrigley. They all walk into that Foxtrot and get coffee before they walk into the clubhouse every day.
Yeah.
Now they got to go across to Westtown Bakery or McDonald's or, God forbid, Starbucks or bring it from home.
Yeah, it's a big thing for them.
Too bad.
Do you feel for the employees of the Foxtrot or the Cubs players?
Just I think the majority of employees that worked at Foxtrot probably have rich parents.
Okay. So if you're going to stereotype, it's an expensive spot.
How's the hot dogs doing over there?
I think all hot dogs are doing well.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Oh, I mean, is it a chain now? I didn't realize that it turned into a chain.
No, there was one, and it shut down, but now they just have his sausages in the center field.
They
bleachers.
Have them in the bleachers.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think okay. It does pretty well.
No, the way you phrased it, I thought you were saying there were multiple locations.
But there's the hot dogs, and then there's the hot dogs in the bleachers, no? Yeah. All right.
Oh, okay. There's no regular hot dogs anymore.
Right. I think
down.
It's just the one.
So when you said it's doing very well, it doesn't exist anymore. So it's quite the opposite. But not because it got shut down, but the guy decided to close it.
My mistake. The one in the bleachers. One of the bleachers was there last year. Yeah. Is that not?
Yeah, but there was one on California.
Yes.
Yeah. That was
in Avondale.
Yeah. But that one. But the one in the bleachers is still there.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They still have a booth there.
Okay. And that one is still doing well. Should I stop talking? I'm gonna stop talking. I got got 3 hours to go, so that might be a problem. For Poles position, whenever Ryan Poles speaks, we decide to turn it over to him. So okay. We'll listen to some Ryan Poles and react to it. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.